Good morning, KURU listeners. You're tuned in to Kindred Continuum's Resilient Voices show this fourth Monday in May. Today, our guests are Maddie Alfaro, Gabe Farley, and Stephen Lindsay, and they are here to talk about the Future Forge, the Maker's Market, and to help us expand our understanding of what it means to be a maker in a world where almost everything we buy is mass-produced and shipped from thousands of miles away. Welcome, Maddie, Gabe, and Stephen.
Thanks, Laura.
So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It's good to see you. Of course, we're doing it by Zoom, so, you know, that explains the sound quality, you guys out there, listeners, but I know you've been patient through all the different ways we've had to make adjustments in doing our shows here on KURU. So to start with, can each of you introduce yourselves and just say a little bit about what your involvement is in Future Forge and Maker's Market and the world of makers?
I'm Stephen Lindsay. I'm the chairman of the board of the Future Forge board of directors. We're a local makerspace in downtown Silver City, and we focus on education and skill building.
Great. Gabe?
Hi, yeah, I'm Gabe Farley. I am one of the co-founders of the Future Forge, along with Stephen. I'm currently the secretary on the board, but I'm also sort of a facility manager, and it's just an all-around maker.
Excellent. Maddie?
Yeah, Laura, thanks for having us. I am not involved with the Makerspace board or the production that is the Future Forge. I am a maker, and I use the space as a maker, and I also volunteer for the Maker's Market on Saturdays. And so that's my involvement with the Future Forge and Makerspace.
Great. Well, I'm really glad to have you here because I have a lot of questions about what all of you are up to and what it means to be a maker and what draws you to that and all. So what is a maker? That is a very specific term that for older people like me, that's a new term. What does that mean?
So I think a lot of people define maker is, I mean, it's a very broad term. Anyone can be a maker. A maker is someone who can make use of something that was otherwise useless. And so it's kind of an umbrella term, especially these days during the boom of internet and open source technology. And so maker and the maker movement is kind of an umbrella term for a lot of independent inventors, designers, and tinkerers of all kinds. And I think that a lot of people would define themselves as makers, being able to use their hands and build what was otherwise something that wasn't useful to a lot of people.
So I think the word maker is not a new word. It's just being used more now. And it's being used in a really sort of lovely way because it's all-encompassing. It is a very inclusive term, and it can sort of mean artist, a creative type, or it can literally mean a contractor or someone who works skill-based, a profession or hobbies or anything like that. And so I think it's just a really great word because it's really inclusive for all kinds of making, because you make lots of things. Everything we do is making, basically. And it's a real democratic, inclusive word. And that's sort of why I think it has so much traction now. And we've never really used it before. We are now.
Yeah. So the last two Saturdays, I attended the Maker's Market to sell my books. And when I went to fill out the form and sign up to be in it, I had the thought, like, well, does it count? Am I a maker because I wrote a story? And I was glad that, at least according to the Maker's Market, that counted, because I didn't know if it had to be stuff that you had actually formed with your hands.
I think being a maker is a very human thing. And so, when Stephen was just talking and sort of creating something new, I don't think it has to necessarily be from reused objects, but it has to be something new. Like, you have to create with your own creativity. For me, that's what being a maker is. You know, you sharing your stories and at the Maker's Market, having your stories there, that's, to me, that is maker. And anyone who is a human being that can make things or make ideas happen, they can use machinery, they can use tools, they can use technology to get that done. But it's the beauty of being a creator that makes a maker, if that makes sense.
Great. That's interesting. Yeah. So there's some different angles on it, but as I think Stephen was saying, it's a pretty big umbrella term. That's good to know. What is the Future Forge?
The Future Forge is a sort of a name that we created, but what we are is a makerspace, and quite literally a space for makers to make in. And the word makerspace is a new term as well. It kind of goes along with maker culture, et cetera. And what it really means is sort of a space to make things at and sort of encourage the sort of culture of making. And there are many makerspaces around the world, around the country, around the world. But I've been to several of them, and they all sort of have the same thing in common. Basically, they are places to house tools, equipment, basically the spirit of maker culture.
So I think for the Future Forge too, as Gabe was saying, that the makers spaces really spur from the makers movement, and the makers movement really just being a unified term for all of humanity who are makers, right? Everyone's really a makers. We all share that in common, that creativity is kind of one thing that humanity shares in common, and all makers, definitely. And so the makers movement kind of being this connectivity between all makers, and really that became a global movement, the makers movement, when the internet really started unifying a lot of information that could be spread around to communities. And so the makers, the Future Forge makers space, and all most other makers spaces in the world are part of this makers movement, which really kind of taps into, you know, an admiration for being self-reliant, and combines that with open source learning, contemporary design, and you know, powerful personal technology. Like we have 3D printers, and we have laser cutters, and we have other technologies that really inspire creativity, which we know is kind of the basis for makers.
Yeah, and so I want to add to that too. Basically, with the Future Forge, we are trying to be Silver City's makerspace, or a makerspace that exists in Silver City. And makerspaces exist in all kinds of all forms. There are makerspaces that are very woven arts centric. There are spaces that are just mainly wood shop. There are spaces mainly metal shop. And then there are spaces kind of like ours that we try to do a lot of things. And the reason we are trying to do a lot of things is sort of try to find that niche for what Silver City and Grant County needs that we can actually offer and for people to use. So it's been kind of a lot of things, 3D printing, laser cutting, jewelry stuff, a lot of different kind of, you know, different sort of checks and skilled areas. We have a wood shop, for instance, and where that kind of goes. So that's what the really unique part about makerspaces is, that they're all different. They share a common sort of thread of infusing maker culture into their space and encouraging education and skill learning. But they're all very different in sort of how they're laid out, what types of buildings they use. And it's really, that's why I think it's a beautiful thing. We kind of have our own thing going on, and we've all kind of helped build what it is, because it's all about the people. It's all about the people, what people are wanting to use or what they want to make. And the people make the spaces. So even, you know, Maddie is a member and has had a lot of input and done a lot of things to the space, especially in the jewelry areas.
Yeah, I'd like to add that I have the capability of doing my silversmithing at my own home. And I'm very fortunate in that. But I prefer to make at the Future Forge because of the collaborative aspect of the space that the space brings. And I love seeing what other people are working on. I love being able to go to a place where people are creating, and the energy of other people creating in the same space is contagious. And so there are other jewelers there. There are people who are doing blacksmithing. There are people who are doing woodworking. And I've been able to expand my craft because I can teach my craft to others and they can teach me their craft. And so I think what the Future Forge is this creative space that lends itself to collaboration. And I'm really appreciative of that.
I get this image of a dynamic energy and a mutually supportive atmosphere where you can learn from each other. You can share that feeling of creating. And there's something that's, it's interesting to me that I've heard the term movement. So the maker movement. Can one of you say something about what the movement is moving towards, or what it's moving away from, or both? Is there an element of that?
I think a lot of the makers movement and what it has to deal with is really educating and progressing how humans view and see the world of things, especially in a, you know, huge consumeristic society and society where we see a lot of things manufactured in places that we'll never see in our lives. And so I think a lot of what the makers movement really inspires is to really just be a birthplace of creation in all of communities and be more resilient to be able to recreate or recycle or create new things per the needs of a society.
And so in some ways, it's a little bit retro in that I know that my mother, for instance, you know, a million years ago, she sewed. Like that was just something that a lot of moms did. And of course, because of the powerful engine of consumerism, we've moved farther and farther away from that, where I remember when there was kind of a shift from that being kind of a normal thing that your mom maybe made some of your clothing or whatever, to that being kind of a source of shame, that it was better or cooler to be wearing things or to own things that you bought at a store. And it seems like part of the maker thing is a little bit like shifting that back around. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's kind of a lot of people in the world, especially in, you know, more well-off communities and societies around the world, as we see a lot of that kind of empowerment going away from people. When I was growing up, you know, I grew up on a ranch and we would always go out and we'd build things. And the idea of a makerspace isn't really that far-fetched of an idea. Most farmers and ranchers and industrial workers would have their own set of tools and everything they needed to repair and fix all their equipment on their farm and ranch. And so the kind of the idea is to bring that empowerment back to people to be able to have the ability to recycle and reuse and fix their things and kind of bring it as to a point of putting value on someone who is a maker and as well as a consumer over being purely a consumer. And I know there is a lot to do with having the society we have, a very consumeristic society around the world, and kind of shaming a lot of the more makery ideas like reusing your own clothes. And that's kind of the thing about the makers movement, is kind of putting a value to that and kind of being an admirable thing to actually be able to reuse something and continue the lifespan of that.
We have to take a short break, but we will be back soon with our guests, Gabe Farley, Stephen Lindsay, and Maddie Alfaro, talking about maker spaces and maker culture.